Hello, everybody. My name is Rabbi Daniel Malinga. Welcome to the RDM podcast. We're back, bigger and better. Before I introduce the guests today, let me lay a foundation for the topic. There is a digital technological revolution taking place, but the question is it paving a way for the Antichrist system? And on my right to discuss this topic is Afimani McLean, business guru, think tank. Afimani, welcome.
Thank you, man. Good to be here.
We have two ladies in the house. One of them is Judith Akankwasa Jalum, a fitness coach, as well as having a background in media. She's here to discuss with us. Judith, you're welcome.
Thank you so much.
And then on my right, Agneta Navukenya, a communications expert. She's going to tell us what we don't know. Agneta, you're welcome.
Thank you so much, Rabbi.
All right. I'm going to read for us something, then we're going to hit it on. Okay?
Yeah.
Over half of all the purchasing begins online, worldwide. Okay? This is from a UN website. In 2021, 2.4 billion people have been involved in online purchases. This has led to the strengthening of big tech companies, Facebook, WhatsApp, Google, and the like. Eh? They say that by 2024, the world would have gone fully digital. Now, listen to this. Ever since COVID hit, entertainment has been totally online. All right? Then, I don't even want to go into security. We'll talk about that some other time. But a lot of Bible prophecy teachers around the world agree that this technological digital revolution is paving a way for the coming of the Antichrist and his system. Are they exaggerating, Maki?
No chance. No chance. And just to make it more interesting, those numbers are going to increase, by the way. Let's all just agree on that. Because previously, before 2020, the narrative was always that Africa is behind on technology. If you look at from 2020 to where we are now, you will find that there was a growth in e-commerce. Like everything literally went on the internet. Why? Because they're saying, oh no, cash is not safe for you because it might help to spread the virus and things like that. So Africa, in a very short time span, caught up with that, with the Western world. And I believe strongly, and we've talked about this before, I believe strongly that internet, which is part of the technology, has been the foundation, okay, has always been a foundation for what is yet to come. And this is where technology is going to play a very big role with the end days and the coming of the
Antichrist. But in line with that, but surely you would agree that a large percentage of Africa is still not connected. Let me not just say Africa, the developing world is still not connected to the internet. How quickly will all this happen, you think?
I don't think it's going to take a lot of time.
I read something about this guy, Elon Musk, coming up with a satellite system called Starlink that will connect the world to internet, but through satellite, so that if you're in a rural area, you don't need to be connected to a land system in order to connect to internet. All you need, that satellite will be able to give access to anyone in a rural area internet as long as they have something that can connect to that internet system.
Literally free internet.
Free internet, actually. That's
we need to ask ourselves the question why of late smartphones are way cheaper to purchase. The Chinese have helped with that. The Japanese have helped with that. The Koreans have helped with that. Why a smartphone? In the villages now, it's very easy to find smartphone. Forget about the quality. The fact that it can access the internet, we're already there.
Interesting. Judith, what do you have to say? Add on to that.
Yeah, thank you so much. I think that the project that Elon Musk is working on, the satellite one, is that is like going back to your question, is it being exaggerated? I mean, if he accomplishes that, there's no exaggeration. The entire world will be on the internet, and then those that be in power and authority, those that control the systems of this world, will do anything they want. And we clearly know on this table that the dark powers are the ones that are in control at the moment.
But let's be clear, because before I bring in Agneta, listen, the internet and technology has helped the quickening of the gospel.
True.
All right. We have Bibles on our phones. We're able to preach online. When COVID hit, we're able. So there are good, there are advantages to having technological advancements.
No doubt.
But what are the dark sides?
So thank you for that question. For the dark sides that I can pinpoint with the internet is the fact that it has taken over the way we consume information.
Mm-hmm.
This means that anyone everywhere in the world can determine how you perceive a certain topic. By a 30-second video on TikTok, a child gets an idea that, oh, it means that in America they are doing this, so they are advocating for this. And that kind of content is pushed because Christians are not in charge of these platforms. It's not people who are in the kingdom of God that are in charge of these platforms. And the internet has sped that up and made that very accessible to everyone, even in the villages. Now, see, at least our values, like here in Africa, our values in the villages are still, I'm saying villages to mean mm-hmm. people who don't really have access to internet. But if Starlink comes, and then these people are also able to see this TikToker who decided that for them they are gender fluid.
But before you take us too far, just also explain what gender fluid is.
Yeah.
See, now that's the thing. Yeah? They make up terms and then they decide what they mean. I couldn't tell you.
Yeah.
Like I couldn't tell you. From what I understand, there are like 15 genders at the moment.
Mm.
Yeah. So really, I couldn't tell you. But these are things that, if I'm going to bring in Generation Z now, they somehow... These people think the same all over the world. For the first time, people under the age of, can I say 25, 24 years old.
Let me explain for someone who might not know. Okay, so millennials apparently begin from 1980 up to 1997. So if you were born in that bracket, you are millennial. A Generation Z or GZ start from 1998 up to present. So anyone born after 90, from 1998 afterwards is a Gen Z. Person. And the Gen Zs were born in a period when, social media and internet rule
yeah.
the world,
yeah.
or they rule the narrative. Eh? So when she says Gen Z, that's what she's referring to. Go ahead.
Yes, thank you so much, Robert. That's what Gen Z means. These people have the same mindsets, whether they are in South Korea or Peru or Uganda. When you sit down with someone from that generation, they have the same ideologies, they have the same slang, they have the same... Remember, for us, our slang in school was daso. That was primarily Ugandan.
Yeah.
But right now, these teenagers all over the world share the same language, and it starts like that, right? Now, if I'm going to take it to social media, which is the kind of communication, the platform that has arisen the most on the internet... There are five top social media platforms, right? Facebook is number one. TikTok is number five. Meanwhile, TikTok just started in 2016.
Mm.
Yeah, but somehow it has surpassed Twitter, it has surpassed Snapchat to become top five of the biggest social media platforms. A platform like TikTok, which has short-form videos on a loop, yeah? And you just scroll. You don't even know what's coming up next.
Yeah.
They don't tell you. So you can go sign in and say, you know, I'm only interested in religious content. And I'll only follow McLean because I know McLean has religious content that he releases. TikTok doesn't care. At least YouTube can care somehow.
Mm.
Even Google could care. TikTok will send you food, will send you spots, will send you relationships, will send you different kinds of relationships. Yeah? Will send you Muslims. And then on top of that, they'll send you someone making a joke. So you keep scrolling. And you might think that a 30-second video doesn't have impact. But if... McLean says something for 30 seconds and then Judith says something for 1 minute expounding on McLean's idea. Before you know it, these people think the same. And it comes down to that same, it's all playing into the Antichrist having just brainwashing an entire generation to believe that there are so many letters in the alphabet that can express someone's personality.
But Judith, what's the devil's plan? Because she's talking about TikTok, what, and all these things. But surely, what would the devil want with the TikTok and
Thank you, Rabbi. I perceive that the plan of the enemy, who is the devil, is to, of course, shed more light on his side and cause the gospel to disappear into some kind of darkness where nobody knows what to expect. Nobody, the Christians do not know how to act in the period and times that we are in. You know, I wanted to just supplement what Agneta was saying earlier on, the dark side of the internet. Like you said, we had online fellowship. Mm. We were able. But you know that now they are censoring. Mm. They are in control. So we may think that now we can access fellowship online, but when it becomes uncomfortable for them, they are going to limit us. They are going to censor us. So there is a very dark side to this technology.
Just to you brought up a good point. On these platforms, there is a term called shadow banning, where when they decide that they don't approve of what you're expressing, they push your content down. So you'll find that someone who has 1.5 million subscribers on YouTube has 1,000 views on a video that was posted last week, which means that they're not even notifying the subscribers that, you know, someone posted their video.
So literally they blacklist you.
They blacklist you.
Yeah. Eh?
So you don't your message doesn't go out and it doesn't add up. When you look at the figures, it doesn't add up. They shadow ban people who speak out against their policies, who speak out against, who decide that they are Christian. Now, especially if you identify as Christian, because these days you have to identify yourself.
Yes.
Especially if you put like hashtag like Christian TikTok, whatever that
and you,
is.
You know, it's interesting because people don't know where the word media came from. The word media came from the word medium.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yes.
Which means to channel. Mm-hmm. To be a channel for communication.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and, you know, I did some history because let's go back to the Bible. Mm-hmm. Then I'll come to you, Maki. Mm. If you look through scripture, I try to check when did media of a sorts begin biblically. Mm. If you go back from Genesis chapter 5, Genesis chapter 5 is just about names. Adam begat Seth, Seth begat Enoch, all the way up to Noah.
Mm.
Now, in those days, from a biblical perspective, possibly even historically, writing was not predominant.
Mm.
So communication or a message was hidden in the name that was given to a person.
Mm.
So media was a person.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If you get what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Eh? So they would put prophetic names. So if you see this person, this is the communication.
Ideally, it was flesh.
Yes, sir. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Okay. So media began then. Then as time went on, if you look through scripture, by the time Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible, from theology's perspective. So if he wrote the first five books, then that means that at the time he's writing, writing must have been a clear form of communication.
Correct.
And I believe the reason why he wrote at that time is because he was a prince in Egypt, and Egypt historically were amongst the first civilization, if not the first, to come up with writing.
Yes.
You with me?
Yes.
So Moses writes. And then we have the Ten Commandments and all that. And then we fast forward throughout history now. We go now, and I'm skipping a lot of history here. Mm-hmm. We go up to the 15th century, because between that time now, communication was, between the time of Moses and writing and so on, communication was mainly by word of mouth.
Mm-hmm.
If you've played the game Chinese Whispers,
So
people line up, I whisper in your ear, and then you whisper in someone else's ear, and then we see by the end, by the time it reaches the end, has my message come across, has it changed?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Chinese Whispers. So there was a lot of word of mouth communication.
Mm.
We go to the 15th century. Then for the first time, the Gutenberg printing press was created.
Mm.
Okay?
Mm.
A man called Joseph Gutenberg, which allowed word to be printed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm.
So it paved way for the printing of the Bible and other books and so on and so forth.
Mm.
Fast forward, okay? Then came analog media. Then you have radio, you have television. Then we fast forward now to social media, which is running the narrative. Now, mm-hmm. I'm getting somewhere with this. The Bible says that the devil is the prince of the power of the air.
Mm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Which can also imply media, communication. All right? And he's using this as a tool. Now, the more control he has of communication, the easier it is for him to control the psyches of men. You with me?
Yeah. And you see, when she was talking, just like you said, I feel the enemy's plan is to control the narrative. Because if you control the narrative, you literally control it. But again, we said this the last time. The devil is not stupid. He's not foolish. People need to understand this. He's very, very cunning. So don't think he's going to come up to you and say, oh, this is how I'm doing it. No. When I look at the internet and the enemy's plan, I summarize it in what I call CCS. Okay? And the S is the one which just came recently. But CCS, for me, is the devil's, you know, way of sneaking in these things, which is one, he'll advocate it through so-called civilization, convince you that this is leading civilization. Two, convenience. Okay? It's more convenient for you to do this. It's, you know. Then, of recent, they added the S, which is safety. Okay? You're more safer using this format and things like that. But at the end of the day, all of this is supposed to draw you in. Now, the challenge is, and this is where now the Generation Z, which, by the way, if we pay attention to what Z, it's the last letter in the alphabet. And if we're saying Generation Z and we're talking end times, okay, we're all on the same page. So if we are looking at all of this and it's to control the narrative and you're already sucked in and you know this is what social media does, because they don't just put out those things by them. They do a lot of research and they have a lot of psychologists who work in those companies. So they literally study how to manipulate one's mind to get you addicted to something. Now, this is where the challenge is. When people become addicted and they're addicted to the wrong thing, it's very easy to brainwash them.
In line with that, Judith, since you have a media background, is that linked to what we now call as fake news and all that stuff? Is that what the devil does to control the narrative?
Yes. If we look at the recent time, the time COVID hit, if you looked at the media houses all over the world, they literally had a script. Like, if you follow keenly, you'd see that they are saying the exact
same. So there's something not right.
Words.
There's something not right. Eh?
Yes. So the moment he has the narrative, he's controlling what we consume. He's controlling what this generation is consuming. And
but then someone would ask, what media should we listen to? There's a lot of fake media. Then where do we find the true media?
I would think media is not an all-time solution, personally. I would think for us that are still, as they term us, in developing countries and what, if, especially the Christians, if we could root our children into the gospel, through the Bible, through fellowshipping, through meeting, and limit. Because also, this Generation Z, there are clusters and categories of children in them. There are those that haven't experienced the internet yet.
Yes.
Then there are those that have experienced the internet. Those two groups are different. The ones that have not, depending on what their background is, if they are Christian, if they are Muslim or what, they have a certain way of believing, which is different. The ones that have experienced the internet and are not inclined to any belief, they are just taking it all in.
Okay. I want to show you a clip. There's a clip I want to show you. After we watch it, I want to get your view on it and any comments you might have, because I found it extremely interesting. And I'll explain after we watch it. Let's watch it.
So you're dealing with an addicted generation.
This is a big time bomb ticking.
This is no accident. Indeed, it is by design.
I mean, seriously?
It was my mistake.
I mean, I think we can all feel it.
To try to make these products as addictive as possible.
400% spike in dopamine.
You know, we now know that many of the major social media companies hire individuals called attention engineers, who borrow principles from Las Vegas casino gambling, among other places, to try to make these products as addictive as possible. That is the desired use case of these products, is that you use it in an addictive fashion, because that maximizes the profit that can be extracted from your attention and data.
It literally is a point now where I think we have created tools that are ripping apart the social fabric of how society works. That is truly where we are.
The way the technologist Jaron Lanier puts it is that these companies offer you shiny treats in exchange for minutes of your attention and bytes of your personal data, which can then be packaged up and sold.
What happened is that the attention economy and this race for attention got more and more competitive. And the more competitive it got to get people's attention on, say, a news website, the more they need to add these design principles, these more manipulative design tactics, as ways of holding on to your attention.
You don't realize it, but you are being programmed.
Here's the thing. The world we live in isn't real. Social media isn't real. And by design, social media rewards us for showing our best life. The edited, posed, champagne, Michelin star, holiday, orchestrated best angle of our life. The highlight reel. But you don't ever see real life. The 99% of our lives. The behind the scenes, the unglamorous, unfiltered, day-to-day, bland normality. And you end up comparing your behind the scenes to other people's fake highlight reel and using others as a mirror or benchmark for how you should look, how successful you should be, or how you should live. These fake comparisons will only serve to make you feel inadequate and inferior to something that isn't even real.
All right, now, this is very interesting because I'm going to encourage you, if you can go to Netflix, watch a documentary called Social Dilemma. Social Dilemma is a documentary where they interview former heads of big tech, presidents of Google, executive directors of WhatsApp, and so on and so forth. And these guys left these companies because they're almost spilling the beans about what these guys are up to. I think I would encourage you to watch that because this video is telling us that our technology and the social media, the things that we uphold in society, they're set up to make sure that we are addicted to them. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, thank you, Rabbi. It's so true because I've just been researching, and on YouTube, the average, they usually sample America. The average American spends 24 hours a month on YouTube. And that is a country with 300 million people. And that's just America. And TikTok has come up, and now people are spending more time on TikTok per what? Per month. And you can imagine, you think, how do people spend that much time on TikTok with just a 1 minute? It's called the attention economy, like they have just said. They are just fighting for your attention. And Reels has introduced it. So people are now spending even more time on Instagram. And you'll find that even just in our day-to-day lives, if you're bored.
And it's, you know, it's interesting because we're talking about the Gen Z, eh? And you go and check that over time, as the generations have gone on, the rate of depression and suicide has gone up along with access to social media. They also notice that, you know, as these generations spend a lot of time on their phones and on social media, there's less interaction with actual people. And so there's a need to create an appearance, especially on social media, of what you might think is the way to look, what people want to hear, and so on. And so we, Gen Z has often been called the lonely generation.
And they're not far off.
They're not far off.
You remember just the other day, we were looking at this famous lady in Kenya who literally fluctuates her color. One day she'll decide to be black, she'll decide to be yellow, but it's also because of what society has deemed as a standard for beauty, which of course we know is a lie. You understand? It's a very sad turn of events. And for me, just watching that, my heart goes out to parents, and especially parents who are teenagers, okay, who are at the point where at some point they're also held responsible for what they take in, okay, and how they perceive things. But as a parent, you have a role to help guide your children, okay, to filter the kind of content that they get. And this is where churches come in. And this is where also, as men of God and women of God, we need to step up and understand that it's not just about going on a pulpit and preaching and living. We need to pay attention to what is happening in our world, in our current world, and help to redirect the younger generation. Because now, like she was saying, and like what she was saying, someone will go online and see this person who has put on like 20 layers of makeup, put on fake eyelashes, fake lips, fake everything, and think this is the standard. Now, you come to your parent who cannot afford that, and you're stressing them about it, and if they tell you they cannot afford that, next thing you know, this kid committed suicide.
You know the scripture says that the truth shall set you free, and there's a lot of fakeness out there.
True.
This is like, people can't be free by fake things.
Exactly.
That's what you just said.
Yeah, I would like to supplement yes. Marklin's assertion. I am a mother of a teenager. And trust me, I'm already seeing some things. Yeah, so my son, the stage he's in now is he loves music. He just, when he's doing his chores, when he's passing time, he wants to listen to some good music. And then I noticed he tended towards rap. Then he fell upon Eminem. When he fell upon Eminem, that was the only music I was hearing in the house. And I got concerned. So I told him, you know what? They're actually gospel rappers. And he didn't know. Nice. So I'm like, you know, there's Lacrae, there is Ryonga, there's all these sorts of good gospel rappers. Have you checked them out? And then he checked them out and he was so glad. He started to enjoy it. So they need direction. You know, they have so much access because my conditions necessitated that he needs a phone. So he has access to the internet. He has access to all this music. So kids that age need redirection. You do not overly restrict them because that is what causes rebellion. Then again, you keep, you know, how you keep redirecting, bring them back to, you know, this is actually the right way. This is actually what you should be doing. And I'm glad, you know, I see him and then I'm like, this is not the right direction. Let me show him the alternatives.
But you guys, let's be clear before Agneta comes in. Our parents had a way of thinking. Mm-hmm. And clearly, when we look at our parents and interacting with them, we feel like at some point they're backward in some things.
Mm-hmm.
Let's be clear.
Yeah.
Now, the next generation also looks at us and says, you guys are backwards in other things. Is it possible that we're trying to shove things down their throats? What do you think?
I think, yes. The thing that we need to understand about generations, and especially us who are in ministry and things like that, is that the overall mindset that they have is we need to know these things. They just want to know. And the moment they sense that someone is not authentic and someone is lying to them, then they go and seek out the information themselves. So as long as it's not really forcing, as long as you are open and honest about what it is you're saying and you also listen to them, they also want to be heard and you see things from their perspective. But like Judith was saying, you have to redirect them, because the fact is we can try and curate our children's feeds and we can try to make sure that this is what they see, parental controls, you only watch Nicktoons. But by the way, Nicktoons also has issues. Yes, they all have like they from childhood they want to plant in these different agendas and mindsets. So the thing that you can do is just address your children's questions when they come, or a young person's questions when they come. That's I feel like that you're not really forcing.
Yeah.
They have to feel like they are listened to.
Yes.
And then you also address with your counter argument.
Know, yes.
If I can just add something to that, even when you're giving advice or when you're guiding them, people will only listen to people who they consider knowledgeable on a subject.
Exactly.
You understand?
Yeah.
So if you're not knowledgeable on a subject, don't lie to yourself that you're going to come to a young man and say, let me guide you in this direction. That's where the bit of them looking at the older generation as being ignorant in this subject comes in. Because if we look at our parents' generation, they never took the time to research about this kind of thing. So when they're coming to advise you, it's based on where they're coming from. But thank God, in the day where we are, in the times where we are now, you can easily do some little research about it. So before you come out and say, hey, listen, this is that, first do your own research, have some information. Then secondly, I think it's important for us to understand that we are all role models in our own way. And I say this also just like from my own experience. I have a nephew who literally looks up to me like he's A to Z. You understand? And now, because I'm conscious of this, there's a way that I carry myself. Even when I'm with him, he understands how things work. You understand? So because he looks at me as a role model, it is upon me to show him the right way to do things. That even as much as you see, I have a lot of internet, I'm not using it for any of that stuff. Okay? We can still have fun. It just doesn't have to be the truth. We can enjoy music, it just doesn't have to be that way. We can dance, we just don't have to twerk.
Okay.
Yes.
Someone will ask what's wrong with twerking. We'll talk about that. Yeah? Some people really like the twerking. Huh? But listen, the Bible says in Daniel 12:4, it says it gives an implication that in the last days knowledge shall increase. Yeah?
Yes.
And we talked about this, how the last days began the day Jesus died, then resurrected. That's when the last days began. And since then, we've been seeing the birth pains just begin to increase. Mm. Now, I want to show you something that I'm showing you a statistic. Since up to the 1900s, knowledge was increasing every century. That means every 100 years.
Mm.
From the 1900s to 1950s, knowledge was increasing every 25 years.
So the time span reduced.
Yeah.
From 1950s to 2000s, knowledge was increasing every year.
Wow.
Currently, knowledge increases every day. Mm. It doubles every day. Surely this scripture is coming to pass in our time.
True.
We're running out of time measurements.
True.
For which knowledge shall increase. You understand?
True.
Okay? So I realized, in line with that, because if you look from a biblical perspective, if you read the book of Enoch, there is a certain level of technology that was introduced to this earth before its time.
Mm-hmm.
When the angels, the sons of God, came and had intercourse with the daughters of men, they not only gave birth to Nephilim, but they introduced a certain knowledge before its time.
Yeah.
All right?
Yes.
That knowledge has come on earth. And we know this because if you go around the world, up to now we're trying to figure out how did they build the pyramids.
Yeah.
Mm.
Okay?
Yeah.
So there's a technology that ancient people had. Now, technology over time has transitioned from analog technology to digital technology. Now there's the line between spiritual and digital is being crossed.
True.
You understand? We're entering. Actually, I think we're in it.
Yeah, we're there.
Do you think that the place that we're at with technology now is sufficient enough to make room for the Antichrist to take his seat?
Yes.
As it is now, or is there something missing?
I think they just need to add one or two tweaks and we're there. Just off air, I was telling you guys about the next phase of computing, which is quantum computing, which is supposed to be way faster than what the computers are doing now. Now, if you think this kind of computer is not yet there, think again. Google already has one. He did an experiment in 2019, I told you guys, of a mathematical equation that an ordinary computer in our day and age now would take 10,000 years to compute. It computed it in less than 200 seconds. It had solved that equation. 200 seconds. Now, this quantum computing is what I believe is going to accelerate the rise of AI. And just for your information, right now, the way that the internet is built is it's decentralized. Okay. Mm. What the debate now, if you listen to technology and you follow the platforms, right now, the agenda is singularity. And singularity means bringing all these different technologies and AI systems together.
Mm.
You understand? So you have from the medical field, from the educational field, from the social field, from everything is coming together.
Mm.
If you shop from Amazon, you understand? Amazon is one of those spearheading actually this move, because they've gotten to the place where now, leave alone Amazon Go, now they've gotten to a place where, because of this singularity thing, let's say for example, I stay in Sheraton when I'm in Kampala, okay? Now the Sheraton, using Amazon and their assistant, okay, understands all my needs because of course I signed up for it and all of that, okay? It knows I love this kind of temperature when I'm in the room, this kind of music and whatsoever. It doesn't matter. If I go to China today and there's a Sheraton there, all I have to do is just log in and say, I'm here at Sheraton, China. And everything, all the experience that I had while in Kampala in Uganda, I'll still have it in China. Now, if you can have that kind of singularity, what is stopping the rise of the Antichrist or his establishment? If he can pick your credit card data, he can pick your whatever health insurance, whatever thing, all of this, bring it together and find a way to manipulate it.
Another thing is that we talk about the New World Order, and the mindset is that globalization is at the heart of the New World Order. So they're trying to cut out the boundaries of individual countries mm-hmm. and create one country.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And digitalization is the way to do that. It has cut across boundaries. You can talk to someone in Afghanistan on Facebook if you want to.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And that's fast forwarding the way. One day, a man is going to sit in one place and be able, by the switch of a button, to control health, agriculture, economy, banking. One guy.
And all you need for that is a supercomputer, which is where the quantum computing comes in.
Agi.
Actually, when I hear those things, I get scared.
Why do you get scared?
I do not. It's not the fear per se. It's more that it's incredible. Like it's, I'm really, really concerned because of the way that Google has a personality. Like they form, they know who you are, and not because they have ever met you. But they know what you want. They know what they can anticipate your needs. They can anticipate what, like it's crazy because the Antichrist then just has to phrase a message in a way that excites you, or at least makes you like, oh, I wonder what this guy is saying. And then all of a sudden you're reading. Before you know it, you're kind of thinking about it, and then you hear someone else. It's too easy. It's becoming really easy. And especially when what you talked about, if internet becomes, can I even say basic need
for
anyone
yes.
in the world, that's when it's
yeah
it's going to get crazy.
What about, because you see, I realized the what we call geopolitical wars. Back in history, when countries were fighting, they would fight over territory, physical territory. Yeah?
Mm.
Then over time, in the 60s, it transitioned to space.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a space war over who can go to the moon first and all that. It was a race, actually, not a war, but a race. Now there seems to be a digital race. And I read that there are over 18 countries, Canada, USA, that have a national AI policy. You know, African countries are not yet there. Everyone is racing to have protection and advancement over the other.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, I feel like the church is lagging behind in terms of the speed at which the enemy is moving. Yeah?
Mm.
Is there still hope, Judith? Yes, there's always hope. Eh?
There's always hope.
There's always hope.
Jesus is our hope. Yeah, so there's always hope. I believe we just have to wake up.
Mm.
Yeah. As but much as there's hope, we can't wait for hope.
But what does wake up consist of?
Taking affirmative action. Like, we have Christians that are talented and able to do all these things that the people in the world are doing. We just have to unite as Christians and say no. We need to we have a responsibility. We have a burden to show people the light, to show people the way, the true way of the Lord. So we just have to wake up, work as a united entity, and do our best and see that we are competing with these other heathens.
Yes, thank you, Judith. Just to add on that, Christians are talented, and we are going on these platforms to where the world is and trying to win people back, which is great. And what Judith has just said is very important. We need to unite, because right now the image that the world has of Christianity is saddening because of what some few people have made human mistakes. People have pretended to be something that they are not. People have contradicted themselves. And like this new generation, Gen Z, like we have already said, they really value authenticity. And they value situations where they feel like someone is telling them the truth. And Christians haven't yet convinced them
So you think for years we've been presenting a theoretical Christianity?
Yes, exactly. So we need to convince them of the truth. And united, Because these things of going and people are seeing you quarreling, like, I was tagged by a pastor and the pastor said this. Now imagine that. Like, you guys, you don't need, that's not the point. Now we are doing that and other people are dancing on. Like, people just scroll and they go to the next video.
But have you guys seen YouTube? You know, sometimes it hurts me. By the way, in my opinion, people would disagree with me, but of all the social media platforms, I feel like YouTube is the most useful.
I find it.
That's my opinion.
Yeah, me too.
It's good. You can learn a lot more from YouTube than you can from any other. I guess you can learn something from TikTok, but I'm not so sure.
No, you can.
You can learn a lot from TikTok, but for me, YouTube is very useful. But I checked on YouTube. It says a lot. When try to do it one day. Try to see which pastor currently alive has the most subscribers. Because the world says, you know, there are 2.5 billion Christians, all right? But Lil Nas X has 17 million subscribers, and Benny Hinn has 200,000. That's just an example. What's going on?
I believe.
let's understand that, first of all, we now, this is a hard pill to swallow. But it's the truth. Like we said, the truth will set you free. Let's understand that we are squatters and we are renting in these people's places. You understand?
Exactly.
So if it's my house, you cannot come and dictate the rules. I dictate what passes and what doesn't pass. You understand? And this is where I feel, like she was saying, the church is lagging behind. Now, lagging behind, on top of what I said, knowledge of the times that we're in now. You understand? If you are trying to convince a Generation Z that you are cool by putting on your gentleman trousers with a line and your other shirt here with a line, and you're tucking in and pulling up to here with your sharp shoes, and you think this is going to convince them to listen to you, zero chance. Try putting on cool sneakers and put on a nice shirt. Put on some cool jeans and tell them, let's have a conversation.
So you're saying every generation has its language?
It has its language. Even when this young person does not want to listen to the gospel of Christ, they'll be attracted to your shoes. That's your first line of connection.
So hold on. So you're saying, you know, back in our days, they used to hold a lot of crusades. Mm-hmm. Then they'll sing in the village there, Tukutendeza Yesu.
Hey.
That won't work with our Generation Z, especially with social media.
Check what, and kudos to them. Yeah. Check what Elevation Worship has done.
Yeah.
You understand? Check Maverick City.
Yeah.
They just showed up, like everyone, most of us knew about them during this COVID period. Mm. But look at how they repackaged the gospel and worship music. That even if you're someone who has never stepped into church, like I said, it might not be the words that get you first. It's, you know, just the whole look, the whole casualness of the people, the whole freedom.
So the church has to evolve with the times.
Exactly.
Yes.
It needs to evolve with the times. And on the other note, it needs to stop being in Lugana Mukonogama. Let's learn as Christians to use our resources the right way. We have in the churches people who we call kingdom finances. What are they doing with their money? Where are they investing that money?
They're tithing.
You understand? You can tithe, but if you're tithing out of your call, then you have misfired. You understand? Because you have these people out there. They understand that they are kingdom finances for their kingdom. That's why they'll get their money, invest it in this technology, and like she said, they're united. You'll have all these guys. One of them will come up and say, look, guys, I have this idea, but I don't have the money to back it. Go to Silicon Valley.
But guys, let me ask, how many do we know? Can you tell me of any Christian that has come up with an invention that is being used? An innovation?
I think they are there, Rabbi.
Of course they are there.
They are there. However, you see, the difference that comes in is how the world handles their inventions and innovations and how we, the Christians, handle ours. I know many people, even IT gurus, that are Christians that are doing great stuff, but they have no funders, they have no investors, they have no one to pick them up. And that is why we have continually stayed in, had that gap going on with our applications, our websites, and stuff like
that. So we need people to have money.
We need investors. I'm not going to use kingdom finances per se because it has become too cliche, and someone will say, I'm a kingdom financer, and they are comfortable with like 1,000 shillings. They're financing the kingdom. We need real-time Christian investors. We need Like I said, we need to wake up. Those that have the finances need to fund the Christian projects that are there. That is one way we could get somewhere.
Yeah, and the other one is, like Rabbi, you mentioned, there are more than 2 billion Christians in the world. Sincerely, if we all stood together and said we are following the clean, there is no way they won't pay attention. If we all stood together and decided we are subscribing to, we're only going to push and support Christians. Because then also, now for example, if someone is on YouTube, they have Christian content and they are being viewed millions of times, their YouTube is now financing them. Per policy, they have to pay you AdSense. Yes. So you cannot, that's how we support. Even if, yes, we have to get money, that's a must. We have to get money and invest money. Mm. Yeah. But we can also invest our time in the people who actually stand for what we believe in.
Yes.
Because then the algorithm is not yet as smart as it could be. You know, it's going to get there, but it's not yet that smart. So for them, what they think of is how many people actually watched it. So the more people watch it, the more people they recommend it to.
Yeah.
And just like that, like even if you're saying, I'm not yet there financially, you can support with your time.
Exactly.
And you can support with your platform on WhatsApp and sharing the videos.
And I think also, just
to finish.
Yeah.
Chizamo Amani, sorry to go to Luganda. Like, for the people who are in the ministry and then they see that all these people are seeing all this content, it energizes them as well. So and I'm done.
No. Just to add on that. If people understand that everything has a beginning, it helps. Sometimes also Christians are very impatient. I'm not saying take your time, but appreciate the process and grow with the process, but put in the brains to the process. Most times Christians get discouraged because you look at all these big tech companies and what they've done and you're asking yourself, when will we reach there? You forget that you have a power within you that is way much more stronger and more powerful than what these other guys are. So if we learn to not be emotional with our approach to things, I think it would help us a long way, because platforms like this, like the RDM podcast, this is the direction we should be taking. You understand? And as long as, like we're saying, we are moving with the language of the generation, I can guarantee I don't think we will miss it.
You know, we're living in a time where nowadays the scientist has replaced the prophet, and the lab has replaced the church.
Yeah.
You understand? Mm-hmm. And so I have people at home, people I sit with, and you know, let me tell you, the truth is this. Truth is objective. It's not subjective.
Mm-hmm.
If something is true, whether you believe in it or not, it will remain true. So if I said this chair is red, you can take that truth for yourself, but it doesn't change what it truly is. Eh?
Mm-hmm.
And so even when you don't believe in God, your belief in God or your non-belief in God does not change the fact that God
is
God.
Okay, you understand? At some point, you're going to stand before your maker. Now, there is a clear battle that is going to be aligned, not just between Christian and non-believer, but also between truth and fake.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yes.
Science and the faith.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the two battles. And the battles, they will climax in what the Bible refers to as the final, the battle of Armageddon.
Mm-hmm.
Finally.
Mm-hmm.
That's where they will climax.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, you know, I was telling someone the other day, if you think, I have brothers who, anyway, my brothers have this belief that when the mark of the beast comes, they will know it and they won't take it. You understand?
We can talk about that.
But it's very interesting because even when you talk about certain things like vaccination, okay, I had a lot of questions about this vaccination thing. And if a person wants to take the vaccine, that's up to them. I don't fight your view. If you want to take it, take it. But I had a lot of questions that weren't answered. For the first time, something is quickened. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
Not tested enough. But they're forcing everyone to have it in their bodies.
Mm-hmm.
The other day, a Boda Boda man, very interesting, a Boda guy, someone was asking him, did you get the jab? And he said in Luganda, the local language, so he said, I would rather die of something I know
Nandai or something.
I don't know.
Eh? And I asked him, what do you mean? He said, how can they bring something from another country? Eh? The country has refused it. And I have to believe that they love me so much that they want me to.
No.
And I thought to myself, if this guy is uneducated and he can see this, yes, he sees the loopholes. Mm-hmm. What about the PhD guy, the master's guy?
Those are the guys with problems.
And so the question is, my question is, it's just that there's so many questions, especially with this thing. And if you could just take something just because you have fear of a disease that is killing less than 3% or something like that. Imagine if a man stands up there and says, everyone take this. If no one's coming to you with a gun and you're running, and church leaders
on radio
saying it's you know, I wonder how people can go back and preach the gospel of healing after this period. It's I have a lot of questions. You can't look the camera in the eye as you look in there and say the Lord heals, when you've been telling people to go and get a vaccine. We're truly living in the end times. Again, I say this is not a direct. I'm not trying to influence people to go ahead and take the vaccine or not. That's your personal decision. But I just have questions. Questions that need to be answered. Like last time I said, how at the airport you're social distancing, in the plane
you're back together.
So I'm wondering where this actually makes sense. Anyway, so we're heading towards this, and there's a lot of